Broadcasting from Cincinnati, you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Podcast, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we're going to talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Ringside Robbie. And we have a great show for you today. And as always, you can catch us on the web at www.ringsidereporter.com. Today, we're going to talk about Floyd Mayweather pay-per-view numbers are in, and they are horrible. We'll also talk about Robbie's boy, Triple G, turned down a fight with Andre Ward. Your boy. He cowered.
I think there's some circumstances behind that.
He's scared. That's the circumstance.
Oh, okay.
Our history lesson today goes deep, deep. September 21st, 1985, Larry Holmes versus Michael Spinks.
Actually, I believe it's September 25th, isn't it?
I got 21st.
Okay, all right.
Our fantasy fight this week pits Roy Jones Jr. versus Sergey Kovalev. But first, we get started with a sparse boxing weekend. PBC on Bounce TV, the next round on Bounce TV, saw Jamal James win a back-and-forth fight over Juan Carlos Abreu. This was actually a pretty good fight, man. Both guys had their moments. James was knocked down in the fourth round, a battle back, and ultimately knocked Abreu down in round six. From that point on, man, it was all Jamal James. He wins an easy unanimous decision by the scores of 96-92, 97-91, and 96-92.
Now, I've never seen him fight Jamal James, mm-hmm. but a lot of people who talked about this elsewhere said that he's like 6'2", 6'3", and when they look at him, when they see him fight, it reminds them of Paul Williams. Do you see that?
No, not at all. No, okay. He didn't remind me of Paul Williams at all. In fact, he was really touted coming into this fight. They were really hyping him up as an up-and-coming prospect. But, I got to be honest, man. I don't see him going too far. I'll be honest. I think he gets hit way too much. The fact that he was knocked down in the fourth round, he just gets hit a lot for being an up-and-coming prospect.
Well, I'm wondering at his size, how legitimate can he be
at
147 pounds when most of the guys are a hell of a lot shorter than that.
Right. I'm willing to give him, though. I tell you what, I want to see him again. I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt because he was a late substitution in this fight.
Okay.
So I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt, and I'd like to see him again. Incidentally, Caleb Truax was actually supposed to be the main event here.
Yeah, and he failed his physical, from what I understand.
They said, here's what I'm hearing, is that they said there was a medical records mix-up, all right, and that kept him from competing. I don't understand that. I don't understand how there's a medical records mix-up, because I'll tell you what, if there was a records mix-up, then it wasn't his fault, in which he should have been allowed to compete. However, I don't, I don't know that they carry their medical records around, and if they don't, I don't know, if they do or they don't, it's going to be his fault. I don't really understand a medical, especially with this day and age when you got email and fax and everything like that. You couldn't get his records down there.
Now, that reminds me, remember when Roberto Garcia was supposed to fight Sean Porter?
Yeah, I do.
And, of course, Garcia's had multiple issues trying to get in fights because of stuff like this. You got to wonder when cases like this occur because, like you said, with all the technology that's available, there's no excuse not to be able to clear up the medical records and all this kind of stuff. I think this is their way of not wanting certain guys to fight. That's kind of the way I'm looking at it.
Or like you said, if he failed a physical and they don't want it out that he failed a physical or something like that. And in Robert Garcia's case, man, that guy, that guy is, I don't know. I don't want to say head case. I don't know what goes on in his head or anything like that.
Right.
But it seems, though, an awful lot of his fights fall through.
Exactly.
And he's booked and everything like that. So if you're the standby for that fight, you're probably going to be fighting. It's a 50-50 shot.
And ironically enough, speaking of that, we haven't seen Eric Bonet since he filled in for Roberto Garcia. I mean, yeah, he took a hell of a beating against Sean Porter, but this is a guy that, you know, came up in weight to help the PBC out. And is he being penalized because he lost to a bigger fighter?
Well, I wonder, is he signed with the PBC? I think that's the other thing, too.
Yeah.
I mean, is he signed with anybody? Is he signed with the PBC? Was it a one-time thing? I don't know.
You know.
But I'd be curious to see, you know, I would love to see him again.
Yeah.
I thought he did a really good job, and I thought he put up a good fight against Porter, you know.
Yeah, well, considering it was outclassed, I mean, in the wrong weight class, and, you know.
In a day's notice, I think, what do you have, like 24 hours notice for that fight?
Right, right.
And they even made an exception with the weight and everything like that? I mean.
Yeah. I don't know. I would like to see him at 140, where he originally fights, and, you know, see how good he is.
Yeah, I do too. And I, like I said, man, I wonder if he was actually signed, you know.
Yeah. I don't know, but that's a good question. But this whole circumstance kind of reminds me of that, where Jamal James was called in at the last minute. And, yeah, he won, but you said he got knocked down and really didn't look too good doing it. So I wonder, is he going to get penalized the same way that Eric Bonet seems to be?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it'll be interesting. I mean, you know, they like I said, he was being touted, like I said, in the press releases and everything, he was being touted as an up-and-coming prospect. And, he didn't look too promising, you got to be honest. But like I said, man, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. It was a short, maybe a short camp for him. I know he took the fight on really, really short notice. So, you know, hey, I mean, things happen. You know, you get in there, you're not 100% prepared, you know.
Okay.
Things happen, so.
Well, what I know Erickson Lubin fought on that card, and every time I see him fight, I love that kid.
Yeah, and he did a bang-up job, I'll tell you that. The co-main event was Erickson Lubin versus Orlando Lora, and the fight was actually stopped at 1 minute 58 seconds into the sixth round. Lubin knocked Lora into the ropes in the second for what was ruled a knockdown. He didn't actually go down, but he went against the ropes. And Lubin looked good. I thought Lubin looked pretty impressive.
Now, every time I see him fight, I'm very impressed. And, you know, he signed to be a pro at 16 because he didn't want to be an amateur. He signed with Mike Tyson. Of course, Al Haymon bought up Mike Tyson's promotion company, so Haymon got all of Tyson's fighters, and this is one of them. And he's only 19 years old now, and he's already won 12 fights.
Yeah, he's 12 and 9 knockouts.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's that is an up-and-coming prospect.
Yeah, you know. Now that's a prospect, if you're a boxing fan, you've got to pay attention to.
Absolutely.
And I'm gonna keep saying this. Look, I'm glad you got the deal with Bounce TV, but make Bounce TV more accessible. I mean, there's a lot of outlets that still don't have it.
Yeah, and that's the thing is with Bounce, you can get it, you can stream it online, but you know, if you don't have that capability, then yeah, you can't watch it. And
yeah.
I would like to see it, you know, on mainstream, more on a mainstream to like DirecTV or I think even certain cable companies don't have it.
Yeah, exactly. You know? That's my point. Well, you know, look, if the PBC is going to take off, and I think it is, because look at how many places it's on. You have to put it on networks that people have access to. So I'm glad you have the deal. From what I'm told, it's done very well. Well, make it accessible for everybody else to see. I mean,
right?
Come on.
I agree, man.
Yeah.
The televised opener saw Wilkie Camfort stop Ronaldo Montes with only 1 second remaining in the second round. Camfort was actually knocked down in the opening round and fought back to knock down Montes three times in the second round. Montes' corner intervened to stop the fight as the second round came to a close. This was a wild one. That was definitely a wild one. Lots of knockdowns. It was actually a really good action card. You know, there was a lot of knockdowns in the fights. There was guys went at it. You could tell these guys, when they got out, they wanted to fight. They wanted to prove a point. They wanted to get out there and show you what they had.
Well, if you put this on a more mainstream outlet or make the channel more accessible, more people can enjoy these kind of fights.
I think that if they keep putting these types of fights on, you know, these action fights like they're doing now, they're going to have to move off of Bounce TV and onto a more mainstream channel.
That's my point.
Yeah, because I don't think Bounce TV is going to go mainstream. I think that they're going to have to move this off of Bounce TV to make it mainstream. And I think if they put these caliber of fights on there, you know, they're going to want higher ratings and everything like that. So
I mean, for example, you could put these fights that they're putting on Bounce TV. And again, I'm not criticizing Bounce TV because I don't have it. I can't see it. I don't know how good it is. But I'm not criticizing Bounce TV. But say you put these fights, say, on Spike, you know, the ratings will go, you know, they'll be a lot higher because people will have more access to them.
Right. Absolutely. And I think, you know, like I said, man, I like, you know, I like the PBC, but some of their, you know, when they put them on these channels or when they switch off of, like, NBC to go to, you know, NBC Sports, it's just kind of confusing, you know.
Yeah, no, that I do not like. I know your guy at the PBC explained it, but to be honest, I still don't buy that explanation.
Right. So let's move on to another PBC card. Is it the Toe-to-Toe Tuesday? And that was Sammy Vasquez versus Jose Lopez.
Now that I got to see.
Yeah, that was a good one. Sammy Vasquez looked really good in this fight. He has a great nickname, the Who Can Mexican. Sammy Vasquez, he put on a show for his hometown fans, stopped his guy in the fifth round. That was Jose Lopez. Vasquez came out strong from the start of this fight, you know. Lopez was coming forward and, you know, trying to punch consistently, you know. But in the fourth round, Vasquez wobbled Lopez several times with combinations. In the fifth round, Vasquez took over the fight, dropping him early in the round with another flurry. That flurry was vicious.
Oh, yeah.
That flurry was vicious, man. And then Lopez was barely able to beat the count and only lasted a few moments longer, and Vasquez dropped him with another combination. Referee calls a halt to it at 108 in the round. Vasquez was very effective in this fight, man. His punching, he landed 108 out of 189 shots. And that's insane.
That's accuracy, man.
Yeah, that's insane. 57%.
Yeah.
So, and he had won every round on the scorecards at the time of the stoppage. That first combination that he threw and dropped that guy, and that was vicious. I mean, just a brutal combination. And what did you think of his performance?
You know what? I think it's time to upgrade his competition. And you might think I'm nuts for what I'm about to say here, and it's perfectly all right. How about putting him and Earl together in a fight? Because I think those two together would be a lot of fun.
Not a big fan of that one, man. I got to be honest, man. I think because Earl's on another level, man. I mean, he's just on another level.
Well, because look,
to me,
Sammy,
Earl needs to be fighting like top five guys.
Yeah, but
that's where he's got to go.
But the competition they're giving Sammy, it's too easy for him.
He's got to move up too, but not up to Errol. No way. Not up to Spence, man. Spence.
Well, hey, I'm thinking if Spence can't get one of the big guys in, I mean, it would be an ice in between fight while negotiations are going on, and I think Earl would win, but I think it would be fun while it lasted.
I think so too, man. Both of those guys can fight, man, and Errol Spence, man, is one of those guys, man. He's just. He's got it, man. You could tell when a prospect coming up has got it, and he's got it.
Look, I totally agree with you. I think Earl is ready for the top 10, top 5, somewhere around there. But you know how negotiations go. So if negotiations take a while, set these two up. I don't think it would hurt anything.
I tell you, Keith Thurman, the fight that has been called out was Keith Thurman and Errol Spence.
Yeah,
and Keith Thurman doesn't want any part of that fight, you know, and he's claiming it's a pay cut and everything like that, and he wants the bigger money fights, but I guarantee he doesn't want any part of that fight, you know.
Well, we'll talk about Keith Thurman in a little while, you know, I don't know. I personally would like to see Keith Thurman in there against Sean Porter before I see Keith Thurman in there against Earl Spence.
Yeah, I would too. I think that's a really good fight. Sean Porter's going to put a lot of pressure on him, and we'll see how he handles that pressure, you know.
Yeah. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know, that fight is not even being talked about. It's not even being negotiated as far as I know. But that's the next fight I want to see those two have.
I would love to see that fight as well.
Yeah.
In the opening bout, Omar Super O Douglas remained undefeated by defeating Braulio Santos by unanimous decision in a rough fight. Both men were deducted a point over the 10 rounds, with Douglas losing a point in round 4 for hits behind the head, and of course Santos being deducted for low blows in round 7. Douglas started the fight fast, attacked the body, earned a first round knockdown with a stiff jab. It was more like a shotgun type jab.
Right.
And caught Santos off guard. Douglas followed that up in round 2, connecting with a left hook that sent Santos to the canvas. Douglas had a big advantage in power punches. And the final judges' scores were 99-97, 97-89, and 96-90, all for the winner, Omar Douglas.
Yeah, no, I'm glad that Douglas finally went 10 rounds. Every time I'd seen him fight before on Chillbox, he got rid of his people early. And, you know, in this case, he still needs to fight these kind of fights, and he needs to learn to go more rounds. So, So in this case, I say keep him where he's at, but make sure he gets more rounds in.
Right.
Don't make it too easy where he puts guys away.
Right, absolutely. Yep. Yeah, it was a good good fight for him, good learning experience for him.
Yep.
All right, so, and that was pretty much the fights for the weekend. There wasn't a whole lot of action, action.
Wasn't there Ring TV on Friday?
I didn't get to see it if there was.
Okay,
get to see it if there was.
Okay.
So, and also, too, this is what I wanted to talk about. I'm glad you mentioned that. Ring TV, as everybody knows, does the stream fights and everything like that. So, also, too, they're actually on the video boxes now as well as an app. So, like Apple TV, if you have the new Apple TV, you could download the Ring TV app and stream it, stream the content. And also,
okay.
If you have, like, the Roku box or anything like that, you can do the same thing, or the Google box or whatever it is.
Okay.
But you can download them, and then you can watch them on your TV. So it's kind of cool. So you don't have to watch it on the computer. You can actually watch it on the TV now, which is
cool. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Upcoming fights this weekend. Another not too many going on here, but we'll go through them here. Tuesday, which is today, but we'll go over it next Tuesday because it hasn't happened yet.
That's right.
We can't do it. I can make an assumption and tell you who I think is going to win, which I'll
That's
do.
That's right.
Julian J-Rock Williams versus Luciano Cuello. 10 rounds, junior middleweights, and that's tonight on PBC, Fox Sports 1, the Toe-to-Toe Tuesdays.
Yep.
And on the undercard, Moises Flores versus Luis Emmanuel Cusolito. 12 rounds for Flores' WBA interim junior featherweight title. This bothers me. How can you defend a WBA interim belt? How do you defend an interim title? I don't understand that, and I don't get that.
I think
make him a champ and he's defended it, or make him the interim and he's not defended it. But don't.
Honestly, Eric, I think this is just to fill up TV time. You know, and as far as Julian Williams goes, Julian, you're a wonderful fighter, but I hope your mouth isn't going to get you into a fight that you're not ready for, because the rumor I hear is he wins this, which he should. Austin Trout is next up on his plate, and I don't know if he's ready for a guy like Trout.
They have been going back and forth, him and Trout. I don't know what the deal is, but they have been going back and forth on Twitter and back and forth in social media and everything like that, and really blasting each other and everything. Those two want to fight, so I think Julian Williams is kind of a stepping stone fight for him, so he'll definitely get past Cuello. Now, is he ready for Trout? I don't know. Trout, he looked good in his last outing. I thought Trout looked really good in his last outing. But, Trout definitely has a lot more experience. But Julian Williams, kind of the up-and-comer. I don't know. I think it'll be interesting. It'll be a great test for him. If he can get past Trout, then he's ready for a big, you know.
Like Austin said in a recent interview, I want to fight the Charlo that just won the title, but he said if I can't get that, then I'll go around being the prospect killer.
That guy. I tell you what, man, Trout is a dangerous fighter. I mean, he's a very dangerous fighter. He's a very skilled boxer. I mean, he's a tough guy to fight. You know, he's a very tough guy.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think the guys coming up could have a lot of difficulty with him because of his style, because of his, you know, ring knowledge and everything. Like, that's not a gimme fight, man.
I mean, hell,
Charlo or Williams.
I mean, hell, he's been in the ring with Canelo. He's been in the ring with Cotto. He beat Cotto.
He demolished Cotto.
I mean, he lost to Andrezar Laura. Laura made him look like he didn't belong in the ring. I mean,
yeah, that's what he does to most people, though. You know,
and that's saying something when somebody can do that.
Yeah.
No, these young kids better be careful what they ask for because they might regret it in the end.
I agree, man. That's a tough out for anybody, man.
He's not over the hill. It's not like you're gonna polish somebody off like Charlo did to Canine.
No, that Canine fight was ridiculous. That was a mismatch, man.
I mean, hell, Oscar and Trout will probably be able to fight for another good 4 or 5 years and be quite successful at knocking these people off. So you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, like I said, man, I hope that fight, like I said, man, if J-Rock takes care of business tonight, I would love to see that Trout fight, man. That's going to be good.
And then, of course, we got the PBC on NBC come Saturday.
Saturday, the PBC on NBC live from Birmingham, Alabama.
Friend of the show.
And his favorite podcast right here, Deontay Wilder.
The Bomb Squad.
The Bomb Squad, that's right. Versus Johan Duhapis, 12 rounds for Wilder's WBC heavyweight title. I can't even say this with a straight face, man. I can't, and I love Deontay, man, and he loves us, obviously. I can't even spin this, you know. I have never heard of Johan Duhapis. Have you heard of Johan Duhapis?
No, and honestly, I think this is like we just talked about with one of the other fights. I think this is strictly a stay busy fight because he does have a mandatory coming up with Alexander Povetkin.
Who he calls Meathead, by the way. He calls him Meathead. He calls Alexander Povetkin Meathead.
Oh, I didn't hear that. Okay.
You know, and Povetkin, and, you know, look, man, I mean, and this is a stay busy fight for sure. And it's not, I don't think Duhapis holds a legitimate threat for this in this fight.
No.
But he is a heavyweight, and he can put you away. Anybody over 200 pounds can hurt you. So,
that's right.
You know, look, man, it could be a decent fight. I think it should be a one-sided fight. But, you know, look, man, if that's the case, then Wilder should go in there and walk right through this guy like he's supposed to do.
Okay, and keep this in mind, folks. All of Eric's going to run through the list of fights on this card. All of them will be shown. If they're not shown on NBC, they'll be shown on NBC Sports, so set your DVRs.
Yeah, and now the undercard for this is really good. Dominic Brazil versus Fred Cassi. Fred Cassi is the one that fought
Chris Arreola to a draw.
We all thought Cassi won that fight.
That's right.
And Brazil, Dominic Brazil is the one that he just fought. The guy he fought just fought. But Brazil is a former Olympian. He doesn't look real good. I think this is a good fight, man. I think this is a real good fight, and I hope Cassi gets him. I don't know that he will, but I hope he does.
Yep.
And then we also have Prince Charles Martin. He's going to fight Vicente Sandez, 10 rounds, or heavyweights. And that's going to be good, man. Charles Martin, Prince Charles, man, he's an up-and-comer, man. They're really hyping this guy. He's supposed to be an up-and-coming heavyweight. So I'm really anxious to see what this guy does. He should take care of business and hopefully does it in an impressive fashion and so we can see a lot more of him.
Okay.
Now, Terrell Geisha, former U.S. Olympian, versus Elizer Gonzalez. This is either going to be 8 or 10 rounds. I'm not 100% sure which one, but they're junior middleweights.
It's probably going to depend on how much TV time that's allotted for the fight, to be honest with you.
That could be, too. That could very well be, too.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the fights on the 26th, or the, Saturday.
26th,
Yeah, and so, like I said, man, I'm anxious to see Terrell Geisha, too. He's another former Olympian, up-and-comer. I think it should be
good. that's why I said everybody set your DVR because you should be used to it by now. Whenever there's fights on NBC, they will all the undercard fights that are not shown on NBC will be shown on NBC Sports. So it's a pattern you have to get used to.
Right. My guy at the PBC said so. So hey, it's what you got to do. Get used
that's
to.
That's right.
All right. Now also too, get your streams ready. Okay, get your streams ready, okay? Because okay. In New Mexico on Saturday, this is going to be a good one. It's on beIN Sports Español, and I don't get that channel. I don't know if you get that channel.
No, I don't.
I know I don't get the channel. So go ahead and stream it if you can. Just go to Twitter, type these guys' names in, and then you probably, you know.
I mean, it might be on the DirecTV Spanish package, but since I don't have it, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. Now, the two fighters, Juan Francisco Estrada versus Tyson Marquez. Yeah, 12 rounds for Estrada's WBA, WBO flyweight title.
Okay.
Yeah, this is the guy that Roman Gonzalez beat, and then they're talking about a rematch, too. So this is going to be good, man. Estrada's no joke.
This is another Taco Latino setup.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And Herman Marquez is a good fighter, too, man. So this is going to be a good fight. So if you can stream it, get to it.
Okay.
Let's see here. Also, Robbie's boy is fighting in Milan, Italy this weekend, Saturday. Paulie Malignaggi versus Lazo Fazekas.
And this will not be televised, and this is Paulie's.
Doesn't deserve to be televised.
No, I know. But I'm letting people know because, you know, a lot of people like to watch Paulie.
Sure.
But this is his going out fight.
Yeah.
He's doing this, you know, because he always wanted to have a fight in Italy. And after this fight, unless he changes his mind, I think this will be it.
Yeah, if he changes his mind, he ought to rewind that Danny Garcia fight and watch it over and over and over.
Exactly.
Because I don't know who Laszlo Fazekas is. It's only 8 rounds. It's an 8-round fight, welterweights. I'm assuming, you know, they gave him a soft touch on his way out. So
right,
I imagine,
right.
You know, no real danger for Malignaggi.
And, you know, Paulie's got a wonderful career ahead of him.
Absolutely.
I mean, he is probably the best boxing analyst on any TV network. You give him a microphone, you put him at ringside, you know what's going on in the ring.
Right. Also, too, on Unimas on Saturday. A lot of fights on Saturday, but we may not be able to see all of them. Andy Ruiz versus Devin Vargas, 8 rounds heavyweights.
Okay.
All right, so that'll be on Unimas. And then we go across the pond at London, Fedor Chudinov versus Frank Buglioni, 12 rounds for Chudinov's WBA regular super middleweight title. And they've got a whole card going there.
Okay.
Also, too, in Poland, Thomas Adamek fighting, still fighting. Yes, he is.
Oh, my gosh.
Thomas Adamek versus, I'm going to butcher this guy's name, Przemyslaw Salida. 10 rounds heavyweights.
All right.
And that pretty much does it.
All right.
For this weekend.
No, for we U.S. folks, we got Tuesday and Saturday. So, then if you got access to streams, you got all the rest.
A lot of people ask me how to stream, and of course, I plead ignorance on it because I've never streamed anything. That would be illegal. But if I were going to stream something, what I would do, you know, I'm a computer guy, so I'm a little bit computer literate here. What I would do is I would go to Twitter and say we want to stream the Andy Ruiz Devin Vargas fight. Okay, what I would do is go to Twitter and type Andy Ruiz versus Devin Vargas and then stream. And then I would do a search and see where that takes me. But that's just me. I don't even know if that'll work. I don't even know if they'll give you a list of channels that, you know, are streaming the fight or not. I don't know. Or links that are streaming the fight, you know, click on one of the links. Be real careful because I heard that you can get viruses that way. But if you have a Mac, you really have no worries. But, you know, what do I know? What do I know? I don't know. I'm not really computer savvy. I've only heard about this stuff in movies. I don't know, you know.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And I think next week we're kind of sparse also because the only fight I know of for next week, unless I'm mistaken, we have the Adrian Broner fights and stuff on Showtime, but then we have the Lucas Matisse postal fight somewhere also. So I don't know where that's going to be televised. But
HBO.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah, Lucas Matisse versus, this is on October 3rd.
Yeah.
Matisse versus Postal. And that'll be on HBO. And then Showtime has got Adrian Broner and Alak Verdiev for his title. And then Edner Cherry is going to be on that card, too, with Jose Pedraza versus Edner Cherry.
Yeah.
So,
of course, we'll talk about these more next week. And Eric will be in Cincinnati. And he'll
live
provide you.
Cincinnati. That's right. Yeah. Live from Cincinnati.
he'll provide you with interviews, and you know, we'll see what we can come up with here.
Yeah, we'll figure something out. If not interviews, I'll just give you the best seat in the house, you know, and just tell you what I saw.
All right.
And how the food was. So. Yeah.
Well, you're supposed to be credentialed, man. It's a local fight for you.
So. That's right. That's right. That's right.
All right.
Let's move on to our history lesson. And this took place September 21st. Robbie says the 25th. We'll go with September 1985.
Yeah. No, we'll go with the 21st if that's what it says.
All right. September 21st, 1985, Larry Holmes versus Michael the Jinx Spinks. This fight, when it was announced, when I heard this fight was announced, it was one, and I knew Larry Holmes was 48-0. Are you kidding me? Is this serious? Seriously? I said, Spinks is a light heavyweight from 175 coming up to heavyweight. Why would you do that? I don't understand why he would even take this fight for his 49. This fight isn't even competitive. This fight was not competitive. Now, Spinks, don't get me wrong, he was a killer in the light heavyweight division, but... You know, I mean, you got to go up against the baddest man on the planet at that point.
Well, everybody thought at the time, Eric, that, oh, you're just doing this to guarantee yourself tying Marciano's record.
Absolutely.
You know, kind of like Floyd Mayweather, Andre Berto kind of thing.
Right.
You know, he wanted to guarantee himself that he'd be able to tie the record. Well... Boy, did he ever get... And, of course, after his 48th win, and I forget who that was against, the post-fight interview, I'll never forget it. He said, Rocky Marciano couldn't carry my jockstrap. and then he announces this fight.
Right.
And everybody thought, okay, this is going to be an easy touch. Spinks is... He has no chance. Well, boy, when that fight happened, we were all proven wrong.
Absolutely. And, you know, it turns out that Marciano really could carry Larry Holmes' jockstrap his way
through. That's right. Yeah.
Larry Holmes was 48-0 with 34 knockouts. He was one win away from tying Rocky Marciano's record of 49-0.
Right.
Holmes was not the most popular champion.
No, he was
people
not.
People thought he had a chip on his shoulder, and he most certainly did.
And he defended the heavyweight title 20 consecutive times coming into this bout.
How insane is that? How many times has Klitschko defended his?
He has successfully defended 19 times, and he's been in 27 world title fights. That's more world title fights than any other heavyweights in history.
Insane.
Yeah.
Michael Spinks was the undisputed light heavyweight champion. He was a gold medalist in the 76 Olympics. He decided to move up to heavyweight to fight Larry Holmes. No tune-ups, nothing. He was just going to move up and fight the champion. And very few people, including myself, it sounds like Robbie didn't give him a chance either.
No, I didn't either, no.
Gave him a chance of beating Holmes. I mean, Holmes was installed as a 6-1 favorite. I'm surprised it was that close when the fight was announced. Spinks enlisted strength guru Mackie Shillstone to help him out with weight. He did this. He bulked up on a 4,500-calorie-a-day diet.
Mm-hmm.
4,500 calories a day. I don't know how you can eat that much, 4,500 calories a day.
Well, fight night, Eric, it paid off. Whatever he did, it worked.
Absolutely. His body fat, incidentally, went from 9% to 7%. And that's about my range, too. I'm about in the 6% range, you know, athlete,
right.
You know, of course. He weighed in for the fight at fight time at 200 pounds even. Holmes
right.
weighed in at 221.
Right.
You know, as if being outweighed by 21 pounds wasn't bad enough, Spinks' usual trainer, Eddie Futch, had chosen not to be in his corner for this fight. Eddie Futch also trained Larry Holmes at one point and didn't want any hard feelings, so he stayed out of it. So as the fight began, it was obvious that Spinks was going to have to use his speed and somewhat unorthodox style to give Holmes problems. Most people believed that he wasn't going to be able to carry the power to knock Holmes out, so he had to be the better boxer, you know. During the first five rounds, it seemed that he had done just that. Holmes was using his jab, but it wasn't as effective with Spinks, I think because of the movement. And Spinks was real awkward. You know, Spinks found his way inside and would unleash combinations and frustrate Larry Holmes and win rounds. But at the end of five, judges had it 48-47. All three judges had it 48-47 for Larry Holmes. The middle rounds actually saw Holmes using his jab more effectively. He got to settle down, and he kind of timed Spinks. Spinks looked hurt a couple of times. Holmes started doing something different, too. He started going to Spinks's body to try to slow him down, and that actually paid dividends for him because he started landing the jab more. He started to land more, but Spinks was still Spinks. He continued to frustrate Holmes. By the end of the 10th round, he had a 96-94 lead on one card, and the two other cards had it 95-95. This was about as close as you can get in a heavyweight fight, man.
Mm-hmm.
10 rounds, it's going 15. Holmes, the last parts of the fight, Holmes really seemed to start off strong in the rounds, but Spinks would almost pull a Sugar Ray and be able to find a way to close out the rounds more effectively.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes more of an impression on the judges. You know, nobody really remembers what happened at the beginning. Everybody remembers the end.
That's right.
Holmes was actually just being outworked. And as the final bell rang, the scores were tallied. And 145-142 and 143-142 on two scorecards. Michael, the Jinx Spinks, would be crowned the new heavyweight champion of the world in a complete upset. I mean, just an absolute upset. Because nobody, and I remember why, I couldn't believe it when this fight was announced, and I couldn't believe it when we finally got the, when they finally announced him as a champion. I was like, I couldn't believe it, man. I was like, I've never seen anybody handle Holmes like that.
I couldn't believe it. I was like, he's going to lose this fight.
Yeah.
Exactly. He's actually
going to
lose this fight, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, I got concerned for Spinks in those middle rounds. When Holmes started doing that work to the body, and Spinks started slowing down slightly, he was still frustrating him and everything, but Holmes was starting to land more and more, kind of getting that timing down and kind of getting him, you know, getting back into it, wasn't to be. Days after the fight, it was actually revealed that Holmes was actually fighting with a pinched nerve and a herniated disc, which you know, I can't even imagine fighting with. The rematch was ordered, and it was the same result on the cards.
Yep.
Spinks won unanimous. However, almost all of the observers, including myself, thought Holmes had won that fight. Holmes came out there. I remember the Holmes came out there, threw him to the ground. I think it was like in the first couple of rounds, he grabbed him and literally threw him to the ground, was really roughing him up. And I thought for sure Holmes won that fight. And
I thought for sure that Holmes would win the second fight, and they would be a third fight. It would be a trilogy, but it never happened.
No. Instead, Mike Tyson got to both guys.
Yeah.
Both of them out. Holmes in the fourth round, and Spinks 91 seconds later. They could have made a commercial out of that fight, man.
That's right.
Yeah. I remember that one. That was the biggest fight at the time, was Michael Spinks versus Mike Tyson.
Yep.
And, wow.
And of course, this, this is before, wait a minute. I think Tyson fought Spinks after he lost to Douglas, or was that before?
Oh, before.
Okay, yeah.
This was when Tyson was on his way up.
Yeah.
And this was like the marquee fight. This is what everybody wanted to see.
Yeah,
because they said that, you know, with Spinks, because Tyson, you know, even though he had titles and everything like that, and he was demolishing everybody, he was still unproven against a good, solid boxer.
Right.
You know, you wanted to see what he was going to do against a guy in there who could, you know, last his attack and everything like that, and we knew with Spinks we would get that.
Well, we didn't get it. We got another destruction, you know.
They showed. I remember this. I remember reading this article in Sports Illustrated. And they said, not Eddie Futch, who was it? Butch Lewis.
Yeah.
Said this in the Legendary Night thing on HBO, that he was punching Tyson. He was in there while they were wrapping his hands and getting ready. Tyson was punching holes in the wall. And it's a cinder block concrete wall he was punching through. They showed the picture in Sports Illustrated. You could see outside of the arena. He was punching literally through the walls. And he said, here's this guy going to fight my little guy, you know. He was like, 90 seconds, man. That was ruthless.
I'll never forget that.
Unbelievable. Yep. Unbelievable. So that's our history lesson for this week. The Jinx did it. Now we move on to our fantasy fight this week. This is a fun one. Now, this will take place at 175 pounds. I've got this week Roy Jones Jr. in his prime versus Sergey Kovalev.
Yeah, now they're both Russian citizens.
They're both. I didn't even think of that. You know what? I didn't even think of that. But, hey, from Russia with love. That's
yeah.
Right. Two Russians fighting in the fantasy fight this week. Who would have thought it?
Yeah.
I didn't, you know what? That didn't even cross my mind either. That's so great. Roy Jones, the Russian Roy Jones Jr. versus Sergey the Crusher Kovalev. So which Russian wins this fight?
I think the chin,
you have to go with Kovalev on this.
Yeah.
I think Kovalev definitely had a better chin, has a better chin so far. Anyway,
yep.
Speed definitely goes to Jones. There's no question. Roy
right.
Jones is unhittable.
That's
when
right.
He was at 175, 160 to 175. The guy was just unhittable in his prime.
Right, right.
Boxing ability, I think you got to go with Jones on that. Sergey Kovalev's not a bad boxer.
No,
he's got
but
good footwork, but yeah, I mean, come
and,
on, man, this is.
And dumb. Kovalev definitely has the power edge.
I think so too.
Yeah,
I think so too, man. Jones back in his prime, man. Like I said, 160 to 175. You couldn't lay a glove on this guy.
No.
He was pound for pound the best fighter out there with no equal. Sergey Kovalev has one-punch power, and he's also a very good boxer as well, and he puts combinations together well.
Right.
To me, I see this fight playing out. I think Roy Jones kind of controls the action while Kovalev chases him. I think Roy Jones kind of makes him come to him and moves around the ring. But I don't think Kovalev is going to land anything substantial in this fight.
Honestly, I think this is advantage Roy because
yeah.
Roy can play the part of Floyd Mayweather here.
Yeah, and that's how I see him fighting this fight, honestly,
because yeah.
That's what he said, man. I see him fighting, employing a safety first fight
yep.
And staying out of danger. I don't see Roy going in there and trying to go for the knockout. I see Roy playing a Mayweather role, staying out of harm's way, and just going and coasting to a unanimous decision win.
Yep, that's how I see this.
So you see it the same way, too?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Now, I had the computer run. I ran this through the computer.
Okay.
70% Roy Jones wins this fight.
Absolutely.
So the computer has Roy Jones winning this fight. Here's the shocker.
Okay.
The computer, 70% has Roy Jones winning. They were all by knockout.
Okay, I don't see how. I don't think Roy has enough power to hurt Kovalev.
I disagree. I think Pascal hurt Kovalev.
Well, yeah. Okay, you got a point there, but
I think if Pascal can hurt Kovalev, Jones hurts Kovalev.
Yeah.
Although in this fight, I don't think that Jones puts himself in that situation.
No, now the only way he'd put himself in that position is if he's actually able to take Kovalev's shots and realize, hey, he's not going to hurt me.
Right.
But I don't see that. Maybe I'm wrong.
Or if he catches Kovalev by surprise, and that's
right.
The other thing too. I mean, look at that
yeah.
body shot he laid on Virgil Hill, and you.
Oh yeah.
Him, I mean, you've seen him hit guys, and they don't know it's coming, and then all of a sudden they're down. You know,
yeah.
Roy Jones is definitely capable of hitting him with the shot he doesn't see. Kovalev,
right.
Not so much, but Jones,
right.
Definitely.
Well, okay. That's surprising me. 70% by knockout.
By knockout, yeah. 70% win total and 70% by knockout.
I would not have thought that, but okay.
I wouldn't have thought that either. I that wouldn't even have been on my radar. I would have said unanimous decisions.
Yeah.
All the way down, but yeah, insane.
Okay.
Insane. So that's our fantasy fight this week.
Okay.
And of course, we'll have another one for you next week.
Yep.
All right, so let's move on to our news and rumors section. So Robbie actually purchased the Mayweather-Berto pay-per-view.
Yes, I did.
I did not. I did not purchase that. But the numbers are in, and it is a complete disaster.
And you know what? I'm happy about that because that gives Triple G, David Lemieux, and Miguel Cotto, Canelo Alvarez a chance to show that both of those pay-per-views are worthy of actually being pay-per-views, and they both should have higher numbers.
Shane Mosley and Ricardo Mayorga were actually laughing at Mayweather's buy rate. I tell you what, 400,000 buys it's rumored to have. 400,000. It's not going any higher. They said it's right around 400,000. So 400, 450, somewhere
okay.
in there. It's
all
an
right.
absolute pay-per-view nightmare for Showtime. And
well, and I think the only other fight that Mayweather had on the deal that did that horribly was the Guerrero fight.
Yeah, because nobody knew him. Nobody knew
yeah.
who he was. you know, and nobody knew who Berto was either, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, and who could have predicted this would have been a you know, complete disaster? I mean, Berto was such a credible opponent. Everybody from go, from the word go, even TMZ was ripping on this fight. Everybody from the word go said that this fight was not competitive and was not worth the pay-per-view. And even when he put that undercard together, which was a good undercard, it's still not enough to carry that pay-per-view, because those are fights we want to watch. Those are not the fights that the casual fans those are the guys, the casual people are the ones that drive the pay-per-view. You know, you're not going to have 4 million hardcore boxing fans watching that thing, you know? You're going to have 4 million, the casual guys who are sitting around on a Saturday, hey, we're playing cards, hey, why don't we watch a fight, or hey, why don't we come over and watch a fight, you know?
Yeah. All right,
let's do it, you know? Yeah, those are the guys that actually carry the fight. Nobody's going to watch that.
And see, for the casual fans, you've got to put names in there that casuals know.
Right. You're not going to want to see Badu Jack and George Groves. That's a fight for us.
Yeah.
Orlando Salido and Martinez, those are fights for us, man.
Yeah.
Those aren't fights for your average everyday guy.
No.
You know, they're going to think those fights are boring.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to want to watch that.
You know, so, no, I'm, you know, I'm happy that it tanked. And, I hope to God we never see him again, but I have strong suspicions that we will.
Well, I do, too, and that's what I thought, too. Will he be back? I don't know. I thought for sure he was coming back, you know, but after listening to some of the audio in the corner, I'm not sure, man. The way he was acting and the way his corner was acting led me to believe that this actually may be it for him, or at least this is what he thinks may be it for him. Him and his father actually had a moment right before round 12. Mayweather Jr., right before the 12th round, talked to his father. He said, I've been looking back on my career. Everything you've taught me from day one, I always remember. Mayweather Sr. said, everything's working, baby. Everything's working. You're good. Mayweather Sr. says, all right, Floyd, be careful. And he says, I love you. He also hugged every member of the corner before the last round as if to say goodbye. I don't know. That may be it, man. If he gives up the titles, that'll be, you know, hey, I think that might be it. I mean, then he's probably done. So far, there's been no evidence of that, but that he's given up the belts, though. But
I don't know. It's just so hard to believe.
It looked. I mean, and I know you saw the fight just like I did, and I saw the end of the fight. It looked to me, and I saw that exchange in the corner. They had it on Showtime or something like that.
Right.
But they had that exchange going on in the corner. I tell you, it looked to me like he was legitimately thinking that this was his last fight. Now, whether it will be or not, I don't know.
I can't
imagine that somebody's going to put on that kind of an act in the corner. You know what I mean? When you don't, you know, I can't, especially like right in the middle of the fight, you're not going to put on that kind of act.
Yeah, I don't know.
It makes sense.
My point, Eric, is this guy. It's just so hard to believe anything he ever says.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
well, he said he was going to give up his titles. Never gave them up. You know.
Yeah.
This is before this fight.
Let's face it. Floyd has been a liar. And I hate to use that term, but it's the only thing I can think of for most of his career.
Right.
He tells people one thing and does what he wants, and it normally turns out to be something else. So, I don't know. I hope he's gone, and you know, congratulations to him if he is. But I just have my suspicions. I mean, the MGM Grand is opening up a brand new arena next spring, and they publicly indicated they want Mayweather to open it. So
right.
You know,
I mean, yeah, and I mean, if I was the MGM, I'd want him to come back too. I mean, I don't know. I mean, he didn't sell it out last time. I mean, this fight sure wasn't a sellout,
right?
You know, so you kind of wonder, you know.
I don't know. I hope he's gone, but anyway.
I do too. The status of Mayweather's titles will actually be decided in November. The WBC has announced that it will address the status of the various weight divisions during its upcoming World Annual Convention, which will be held in Kunming, China, from November 1st to the 6th. Of particular interest will be the future titles in the welterweight and super welterweight divisions, both of which have been held by Floyd Mayweather for the last 2 years. exactly. So hopefully he's done and he gives up the belts, and that makes room for other guys to come up and maybe some really good fights instead of what we've been seeing for the past X amount of years.
Well, I personally think, I wish that Ronnie Shields did not have all of the future 154-pound champions.
Yeah.
Because
that's got to go, too. I mean, if you're in boxing, I mean, you're fighting for a title. And you know that, you know, the trainer's got to make a decision at some point, and you got to make a decision at some point. That won't last long.
You know, I mean, because let's face it, both of the Charlos are going to have a title, and you know Laura's going to have a title.
Right.
That's three of the four belts. So, are those three going to just hang on to their belts and never fight one another?
Yeah, who knows?
You know.
Who knows? Yeah, I mean, exactly. I mean, those type of friendships and camps and everything like that, they're going to go out the window because that's what they're going to be interested in is fighting, you know, fighting for titles.
Because fighters always say, yeah, we're friends, but business is business. Well, okay, let's see that. Let's see if business can be business. And Ronnie Shields, you have to decide who you're going to train when two of your guys actually have to get in the ring with one another.
Right.
And, you know, these three guys, they spar together all the time. So what would be interesting if two out of the three end up having to fight each other. I mean, my God, how do you make a strategic plan when you spar against a guy every day?
Yeah, and I mean, realistically, it's only going to be the Charlos and Lara.
Yeah.
And I would imagine Lara's the outside guy. Because, you know, the Charlos aren't going to fight each other, and, you know, I would assume Lara's going to be the outside guy there.
It's like the Klitschkos. They never, right. You know, they never fight each other.
Right.
And, of course, the Charlos aren't going to fight each other, which means two of those titles at 154 are never going to be unified. You know, it's going to be up to Laura to fight whoever the fourth champion is. To unify part of, you know, so I don't know. That's going to be an interesting development. You're going to have three belts in one gym, trained by one guy.
I tell you what, if he's not trainer of the year, I don't know who is. You know.
You know.
We're going to move on now to our train wreck of the week, Robbie's favorite segment. Our train wreck of the week.
Well, I'm surprised who it is.
Yeah, Keith Thurman involved in our train wreck of the week. He's got some harsh words for Virgil Hunter. Apparently the two have been kind of going back and forth, and when asked about a fight with Amir Khan, Keith Thurman stated, if I had to, I'd knock both of them out, referring to Khan and Virgil Hunter. Hunter, of course, responded in kind. I laugh at Keith. God bless his heart. I love him. He said, when he said he wanted to knock me out, Keith, you better cut that ponytail before you talk about knocking me out. I'll grab you by the ponytail and break your neck, boy. They don't understand that. I'm a 62-year-old man, and I won't play no games with you. I know some things that will take you straight out of here, and I have no problem utilizing it. Thurman, of course, didn't take kindly to that, as you can imagine, and, of course, responded in turn. He said, if Hunter really has some beef, we can sign a contract. I can go to his gym, and I'll slap you up. I don't want to talk a lot of junk, especially to Virgil. He's a trainer. Get out of this. You don't belong in this fighter's world.
I will,
and he continues, I will F your fighters up, each and every one of them. And if you want to jump in with it, my hands are there. I will throw. I don't like threats, and he's not a fighter. We are going to fight unless we're not going to fight unless he wants to fight. I don't like beating up old people, but I don't like mother effing S talking either, man. That's
okay.
That 0 to 100 real quick. Seriously?
Well,
it's 62.
Yeah.
If you look, man, if you don't have a thick enough skin to take some ripping from a 62-year-old guy, you're in your 20s, son. I mean, what are you doing?
Well, I think Keith is just trying to make sure he gets his name out there. But as I stated earlier, it's time for the Porters and Thurman to get to sign a contract and get that fight on.
I agree. I think that's Keith's best option right now. I mean, who's he waiting for?
Yeah.
What is he, just waiting for Mayweather to, I guess he's waiting for the vacate title. And
Well, you know, it'll be interesting to see because
he's
Mayweather holds...
He's not fight anybody, yeah? He's
not, no, yeah. No, he's not. It'll be interesting to see because if the WBC orders has vacant titles, I wonder if you know, I wonder how they'll work out the rankings. Maybe they'll maybe they'll mandate a Porter Thurman fight. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, Oscar De La Hoya has already stripped Floyd Mayweather of his pound-for-pound championship from Ring Magazine. He did that the very night that Floyd said he retired. He said it was his last fight, and he stripped him. He took him off the rankings.
Yeah. All right.
All
good
right.
deal.
So, all right, this next one, man, this involves your boy, Triple G. Is he Triple G or is he Little G? Andre Ward claims that he offered Triple G a fight, stating Little G turned it down. Little G turned down an official fight with us. The reality is, for all the talk, the proof is in the pudding. I have an email right now that shows that we gave him what they want, 50-50. And the man, the promoter, turned it down. They said maybe 2017.
I've heard all about this. Apparently, the email came out. And, of course, we have no way to verify this unless somebody wants to make it public for us to read. But apparently, the email came out after Gennady Golovkin signed to fight David Lemieux. In other words, the fight with Lemieux was already signed, sealed, and delivered. Everything was official. And the email came out after the contract was already signed.
Well, here's Tom Loeffler took to the waves and immediately responded to clarify. Loeffler said that it would have been a bad deal to take. He thinks that if the pay-per-view with Lemieux does well, if it does what they think it's going to do, that Triple G will deserve more than 50-50.
That is correct. I agree with that.
I kind of agree too. I mean, you know, I mean he. I mean, you're talking about there. Rumor is that Andre Ward is going to fight on that undercard of Cotto Canelo.
That is that's what I'm hearing.
A pay-per-view guy.
And look, I live semi close to where Andre Ward is from.
Yeah.
He doesn't even sell out the Oracle Arena in Oakland, which I don't know how they configure it for boxing, but I know for basketball it holds 20,000.
Yeah.
And the only people that can fill that up is the NBA champion Golden State Warriors. Andre Ward has never filled up that arena. Andre Ward is not a draw. For if he can't sell tickets, he can't sell pay-per-views. That's just my opinion.
Right, and he doesn't have that overwhelming personality. He doesn't have that it factor. He's a great boxer, but he doesn't have that it factor. You know,
I mean, he doesn't bring butts to seats, man.
Right, and a lot of guys don't do that. I mean, that were really good. I mean, Bernard Hopkins, I think, is one of those guys.
Yeah.
That, you know, really, he wasn't popular, but he was a great fighter. You know, but he couldn't really, you know, it was hard for him to draw. You know, I mean, he's not really selling out like Triple G.
But I mean, Triple G, on the other hand, I mean, it doesn't matter where this guy fights; all the tickets are sold.
Yeah.
You know, there's a so I don't know how you do it negotiating wise, but because and another thing to consider too, I don't know if Andre Ward really holds a legitimate belt because he hasn't been fighting for so long. I know they say he's a champion, but Triple G has actually been defending his titles.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's got, you know, look, man, I always say it, man, if you're a boxer and you're on TMZ, you're popular. You've made it. You know, you got to do your thing in the ring, but as far as people noticing you and taking notice of you, you've made it, you know, and Triple G is all over TMZ. I have yet to see Andre Ward be mentioned outside of boxing circles.
That's correct, and the point is, Triple G is going to be the one to draw in the casual fans.
Right. Not Andre Ward, right.
We were talking about how pay-per-views work. Okay. In order for an Andre Ward Triple G pay-per-view to work, you put the name Triple G on the marquee. Everybody who knows anything at all about boxing is going to buy it. Andre Ward is not going to be the selling point here.
Right.
So I think Andre Ward has to lose in the negotiating because he has not earned a 50-50 split. Yeah, he won the Super 6. Yes, he's cleaned out the super middleweight division. But, Andre, you haven't fought maybe once in 2 years. You're not as active as this dude. So you don't deserve the negotiating points you're trying to make here.
That's the worst thing he could have done for his career is all that inactivity. is, you know, and I know he was kind of, he was tied up with contract disputes and everything like that. The absolute worst thing he could have done.
And look, I know Andre Ward looked good in his last fight, but he was fighting Paul Smith.
Yeah, he should have looked good in his last fight.
I mean,
he was supposed to look good in his last fight.
My point is, Eric, since he sat out for 2 years, didn't really get in the ring except for in the gym, we've got to see him in against somebody legitimate to see what he actually has left. And I don't think he's near ready enough for a guy like Gennady Golovkin. I do think the fight will happen, but I do have to agree with Tom. It's probably going to have to be late 2016 or early 2017 before it occurs, because Triple G wants to, he's going to beat Lemieux for his title. I'm convinced he's going to beat Lemieux. Then he wants to fight the winner of Canelo Cotto. If they don't fight him, he's going to fight Andy Lee to collect that title. You know, he wants to be a unified champion, and I see nothing wrong with that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I don't see anything wrong with that either. And he's definitely the A side. You know, for lack of a better term, he's definitely the A side in this because, like I said, he's known.
And
if Andre Ward, let's put it this way, if Andre Ward could sell tickets, he'd be on pay per view. He can't.
Yeah.
Triple G is just getting on pay per view.
Yeah.
So if this fight does really, really well and does the numbers that they think, how can you ask for a 50-50 split?
No, and
the problem
is here, like I said, Triple G's got defined goals. What is Andre's goals? Andre's been spending more time out of the ring arguing over fights than actually putting fights together.
Right.
If Andre wants to get Gennady Golovkin's attention, start fighting some of these younger guys at 168 and see what you can do against them, because I think those 2 years off is really going to hurt the rest of his career. That's just my opinion.
I don't know that it's going to hurt his career so much as it's going to hurt his pocketbook.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's the worst thing for him. That was the absolute worst thing he could have done, because now the big guys, you know, may view him as like a Rigondeaux, where it's just too much risk and not enough reward because nobody knows who he is.
And he's also got to decide. I know Virgil Hunter said he's not fighting a 175, but Andre's got to decide what division he's going to fight in. Is he going to stay at 168 so he can fight Triple G somewhere down the road, or is he going to move up to 175 and be killed by Kovalev?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't think Kovalev beats Ward, but I think that...
No, I don't either, but my point is, well, what do you do, Andre? I mean, you have basically, with your non-fighting skills here, you basically ruined any negotiating power you might have had.
Yeah, and I don't know, Rock Nation, they're promoting Cotto, and they're also promoting Ward, and they're going to put Ward, from what I understand, they're going to put Ward on that pay-per-view.
Yeah.
They don't know who the opponent is yet, but they're planning on putting him on that pay-per-view as an undercard.
Yeah.
And, what is he going to fight, another Paul Smith?
Probably.
You know what I mean? I mean, you got to fight somebody. I mean, I don't know.
Look, I do think eventually the fight will happen. But I don't think it's going to happen on Andre Ward's terms.
Right.
I think it's going to happen on Golovkin's terms, and whatever Gennady wants, he's going to get.
Yeah. I mean,
especially if Gennady goes on and beats Lemieux, beats Andy Lee, and beats the winner of Cotto Canelo.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, man, is that, you know, like I said, I mean, he's more active, he's more known. And if this, like I said, I mean, a lot is riding on this pay-per-view, and the fact that he sold out Madison Square Garden, you know, and he sold it out pretty quick.
And people think I'm crazy, but I think, Eric, I think this is going to do a million pay-per-views at least.
I don't see it going up quite that high.
Because look at how popular this dude is.
It'll be interesting. And a lot of people, like I said, I think he's got a lot more fan base than you think. You know, and I think he, you know, like I said, being on mainstream and everything like that, and now this guy is, you know, the fact that he sold out the Garden that quick, I mean, that, you know, they're not there to see Lemieux. Nobody knows who Lemieux is.
No.
You know? Yeah, I think that's it'll be interesting, man. I think it'll be interesting to see where this goes.
Because he's all over TMZ. He lives in California. and he goes to all the celebrity parties. He's all over the place.
Yeah.
Everybody knows who he is. Maybe I'm wrong about the million, but hell, I would like to see it because that boosts his negotiating power even more when it comes to guys like Ward or Cotto Canelo.
Right, I agree. Let's move on here to Tim Bradley and Brandon Rios. Now we know this fight is on. Now the interesting thing is it's being advertised for the welterweight for the title. It's being
for the WBO title.
Right, it's being advertised for the title. So it seems as though that Saddam Ali may have taken some payola to step aside, which is what he said he wouldn't do. I told you, a briefcase full of money changes things, man.
That's right, yeah.
That's what Don King used to do. He would get sued by a fighter. This is my favorite Don King stories.
Yeah.
Is he would get sued by a fighter for, like, millions. And then he would take a briefcase full of cash, you know, to a fighter's house in exchange for dropping the suit. And he said there may have been like $50,000 in the case. I mean, so it was, I mean, completely, if you're going to get $1 million or $50,000, you know, and he'd have this, but it was like all in $100 bills right in front of you, man, a big briefcase full of money. He said, but the theory was when you have all that money in front of you, it's hard to turn away. And sure enough, that's how he got out of a lot of lawsuits.
There you go. Yeah. And of course, I don't know what's going to be more entertaining, the Rios-Bradley fight in the ring or the Bradley-Atlas corner.
Yeah.
Because Teddy likes to get a lot of attention on himself. I mean, he's a good trainer, but I've noticed whenever he's been involved in training a fight, he dominates the corner and focuses all the attention on himself.
He's like Mr. Miyagi in the corner, you know?
Yeah.
WBC featherweight champion Gary Russell Jr. will defend his title on October 24th.
Oh, boy, what a busy day we have that day.
Absolutely.
Okay.
The rumored opponent is Oscar Escandron.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, I don't know who he is either, but he's the rumored opponent. So,
okay.
Nacho Bernstein says adios to Floyd Mayweather. Apparently, Nacho Bernstein, not a big fan of Floyd's. Not a big fan of Floyd's style, stating, I didn't like his way of fight. He would execute a plan for himself without satisfying the public or making some type of spectacle. I celebrate that he's gone from boxing because people will be able to see something different, something much more spectacular in boxing. He was a very skillful fighter, but he was abusing his skill with the way he fought.
Well, Nacho Bernstein is from Mexico. He believes in the Mexican style of fighting, like, you know, kind of like Gennady does, you know, because Gennady promotes his style as, you know, as Mexican style, you know.
Absolutely,
so,
yeah.
There you go, you know.
Manny Pacquiao, the Pac-Man, is rumored to be making a return to the ring in 2016. Bob Arum is actually on record stating that Amir Khan is on the top of the list for a fight with Pac-Man. Kell Brook and Terrence Crawford are also on the list, and Bob Arum has said now that Lucas Matisse and, you better sit down for this one, Juan Manuel Marquez are also on that list.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, let's see the 20th fight between those two. Yeah, that's great.
That would be number five.
Yeah, I love Bob Arum stating that Amir Khan is on the top of the list, but also on the list are 50 other names. You know.
Well, like I said, if the rumor is true, and I don't know how accurate this is, but apparently his next fight, if and when it occurs, is supposed to be in Dubai. And if it's in a place like Dubai, the Arab Emirates, they're going to put Khan in there because he's Muslim. He's
a
Arab
logical
descent.
Choice. Logical
yeah.
choice.
Yeah. So that's the only way Amir Khan ever gets that dream fight, but you know, because he couldn't get Mayweather, now he wants Pacquiao. That's the only way he gets that.
Now, speaking of Amir Khan, there's actually a lot of talk going on that they're actually going to put together a rematch of Amir Khan and Danny Garcia.
Well, you know what? I think the rematch turns out the same way the first one did.
Really? Really?
Yeah. Okay. Because, let's face it, Eric, have you been really impressed with the way Khan has fought since he's moved up to 147? I mean, he's had almost difficulty with everybody he's fought. Or they put guys in there to make him look good, and he really hasn't looked. I mean, look at the trouble he had with Algeri. He had trouble with with Matisse. I mean, not Matisse, with Luis Collazo, I meant. And he hasn't really looked impressive at 147. I think Danny will, I don't know if Danny will knock him out the way he did at 140, but I think Danny will show Amir Khan that he doesn't belong in the ring with him, and I think it'll be the same kind of result.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah, I don't know how that fight goes. I think it's a good fight. I'm not, you know, Danny Garcia is a good fighter, but so is Amir Khan. I think it'll be interesting.
Yeah. Well, and like I said, we'll find out if the 7 pounds for both of them makes a difference, because Garcia dominated him at 140,
he sure
knocked
did.
Him out.
Yeah.
You know.
Backtracking to Manny for a second here, Freddie Roach gave an interview and said, "I didn't like how Manny looked in his last fight. You know, him and everyone else who paid $100 for that load of garbage, you know."
Well, why didn't you be honest with people and say Manny was hurt and cancel the fight so people didn't have to pay for it?
Right. Yeah. He said, "I know there was an injury and so forth, but I think he could have done better in that fight. If he doesn't look good in his next fight, I think I will tell him to retire. I've always told Manny that if I thought he was slowing down and his reflexes weren't there, I would tell him. Go ahead and tell him. I think his reflexes are no longer there, you know. I think you might want to, you know, speed that conversation up." A judge's ruling could force answers on how Al Haymon operates.
Okay.
De La Hoya's Golden Boy Promotions is suing Al Haymon, the creator of PBC, for alleged violations of the federal Muhammad Ali Act.
Right.
That forbids a boxing manager from operating simultaneously as a fight promoter. It's a conflict
That's
of
correct.
Interest. But, you know, a lot of people have done this in the past. Don King being the forefront. His son, Carl King, was the manager for the fighters while Don King was promoting the fight. So
That's
you know,
right. Yeah.
There you go. Haymon has retained promoters such as TGB and Sherman Oaks and Lou DiBella.
Right.
Yeah, and TGB and Lou DiBella, I'm sorry, in New York, to handle the promotions of various PBC cards. But Golden Boy claims in the lawsuit that Haymon is paying those promoters a small fee and actually directing the fighter purses himself. I don't know.
Well, you've got to be able to prove that.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, maybe Oscar was absent the day they felt law. I don't know, but you've got to be able to prove that. I don't.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean if you're gonna make an accusation like that, especially in a lawsuit, if it ever goes to court, they're going to ask you for proof.
They're not going to do that in court. They're not going to ask him for proof. No way.
Oh, of course
why,
they are.
Why would they need proof? I mean, Oscar said it. It's got to be fact.
Oh, just like Oscar wore, what was it, pantyhose?
Yeah, the pantyhose. And
yeah.
I love it. All those images are like resurfacing. And every time they mention De La Hoya's name, they always resurface.
Come on.
Sad news here. Frank Bruno was actually admitted to a hospital after his bipolar disorder relapse. The boxing legend, who has been sectioned 3 times in the past 12 years, went voluntarily with a severe bout of depression, according to reports from the Mirror newspaper. The whole thing came after friends and family grew concerned about him. One close friend said, "It's terribly sad, but Frank has been struggling for the past few weeks now and needed to get some help. He has taken the step in a bid to try to make sure he gets better and back to his best as soon as he can." You know, hopefully Frank Bruno gets better. I think it's really, you know, he was actually set to hold some kind of benefit or something like that for bipolar disease, I guess mental disease. I don't know.
It's mental. It's mental illness.
Mental illness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of people all over the world that suffer from this. I know quite a few that suffer from bipolar and depression and.
Right.
It's not
depression. Yeah, I mean, it's all like intertwined, and it's all it's a horrible thing to deal with.
Yeah, I mean, you heard the case just recently about the Olympic runner. That won 3 different medals in 3 different Olympics, that she went from being an Olympic superstar to being a Las Vegas escort. And, of course she put a book out and she's blaming it on her manic depressive and disorder. And, I mean, the problem with these kind of illnesses, they manifest themselves in many, many, many different levels. And they're very hard to diagnose, so our thoughts and prayers are with a guy like Frank. Frank was a good guy. He put on good fights. some of his fights are extremely memorable, especially with Mike Tyson and Lennox Lewis, and I know he fought several other guys, so, you know.
Yeah, so hopefully he gets better soon. Hopefully, you know, he takes his time and, you know, gets some meds and counseling and all that other good stuff and kind of gets back to where he should be, you know.
Yeah. So
definitely thoughts with him. Okay, so tell me more about this Olympic chick. Okay, so she...
You can Google her. It's Susie Faber Hamilton. She put out a book. She was recently on 2020 on Dr. Phil.
So she became an escort. So when people bought her, did they know she was an ex-Olympic champion or something like that?
She made it public. That's how the story broke. One of her clients actually came out with the whole thing. What was it, 2 or 3 years ago?
Uh-huh.
And kind of outed her.
That's so
and,
awesome.
Yeah, she was paid $600 an hour.
Wow.
You know?
That's a lot of money. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's a lot of money.
Well, hey, what do they say?
That's the going rate for Olympic chick. I don't know.
What's the old saying? Everything in Vegas stays in Vegas. Well, that's one of the things, you know.
That's so great.
So, you know.
$600. Was she pretty hot? I mean, what does she look like?
Yeah, I know. She's a hot look, Eric. If you Google her, it's Susie Hamilton. If you Google her on your computer, you'll see, because they've been promoting the hell out of her book. She, like I said, she was on 2020. She was on Dr. Phil. She's been all over our TV the last 2 weeks.
All right, what's her name? Susie.
Susie Hamilton.
Susie Faber Hamilton. There it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, let's see what this chick looks like.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. She was an escort?
Yeah.
$600? That's a bargain for her, man.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness.
I'd
plug $600 down.
They put out she wrote a book. It's currently out, so that's why they've been promoting the heck out of this. So, and she's blaming the reason why she became an escort on her bipolar and depression disorders.
Wow. Not money problems or anything like that, or trying to get through school?
No, because she's married and got a kid.
$600, though. That's a lot of scratch, man. That's a lot of money.
And you'll find this. You'll
so
find
it was
this.
$600 an hour?
$600 an hour, man.
Wow, she looks worth it, man. She's cute.
And you'll find this will blow you away. She's married, and her husband went along with it.
Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, apparently everything's in the book because they want people to buy the book. But
well, read
they
the book and give a review. What are you doing? I mean, get the audio book and read.
Hey, well, it'll be a while before that's recorded. But
we're gonna attach the audio book at the end of this podcast.
But seriously, man, they've been all over TV. You know, she lives in Wisconsin, of all places.
I heard something about this, and I didn't pay too much attention to it. And then we were talking about Frank Bruno, and you brought it up, and I was just like, well, this is...
Yeah. That's why I brought it up, because it's connected.
That's so great. That's so great. Yo, who cares about Frank Bruno now? Let's talk about this girl, you know? Oh. All right, let's get back to boxing here, man.
Okay.
Robert Garcia claims that Antonio Margarito, who is making a comeback, is in tremendous shape and ready for a fight at junior middleweight run. This guy shouldn't be fighting, period. But, I don't know about that, man.
I've already covered this. I don't want...
I don't think he should ever fight again after what he did, so...
No.
Now, this leads us to our second train wreck of the week.
This one is more appropriate, I think, but okay.
Right, I do too. Ricardo Mayorga wants one last fight, and he's calling out on Twitter Antonio Margarito for the last fight.
And like I told Eric before we went on the air, if this is pay-per-view, save your money.
Maybe we can get that Olympic chick to referee it. I would watch that. I'd watch that, you know.
Jeez.
I'd pay for that.
Yeah, okay.
I wouldn't pay $600 an hour for it, but I'd pay to watch her. You know, yeah, why not?
go ahead and continue to dig yourself a hole there, buddy.
That's right. I know. She just got home, so yeah, it's okay. a rough ride for me here.
Okay.
All right. Well, listen, before I get in any more trouble, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. Robbie always drags me down, man. Always drags me down.
All right.
As always, you can catch Robbie on Twitter at RingsideRobert, and I'm on Ringside. I'm at Ringside73, and we will catch you next week.
And also, before we get out of here, for those that they don't have computer access, you can hear it on the podcast on the phone. Also, you can call 773-572-7781.
Awesome.
It's normally up every Tuesday night, Wednesday morning. And I normally stay on my greeting for about a week.
Awesome.
Thanks for listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. Check us out on the web at www.ringsidereporter.com, on Twitter at Ringside73, and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Ringside73. Subscribe to us on iTunes.